The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, fellas. Take your Bible and go back to the book of Malachi chapter 3. I invite you to look at verse 6, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. And before I begin to read again, I many times, for clarity's sake, for simplicity's sake, I will give outlines, and sometimes I use one words, if you will, one word here, one word there, all beginning with the same letter. I'm not going to do that tonight. However, if you wanted to apply this tonight, we will be looking at the pattern for tithing, the place of tithing, the partner in tithing, the peril from not tithing, and also the plenty for tithing. I don't have it outlined that way, but if you want to go back and listen to the CD, you can figure out the outline in that direction. Look at it, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Now that's very significant as we look at this tonight. "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers are ye gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said," watch it, "but ye said, wherein shall we return?" Then he tells how to return. "Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." In our series that we have begun for Sunday night and talking about Christian living, of course, I began this series hoping to help us as Christians to live according more so to the Word of God and the principles that you find there. Last Sunday night, for the very first time I preached on this series, I preached about how to fellowship. Now tonight, how to tithe. I believe that there are people that need to understand the importance of the tithe. I teach on the tithe tonight because it's important for your sake. It's important for the Lord's sake. It's important for the lost sake. And it's important for the local church's sake. As a pastor, I'm commanded by God to teach you about the tithe. The tithe is somewhat like the dues or the fees that we would pay. After all, you are breathing God's air. You do drink God's water. You do eat God's food, and you do live on God's earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So no matter what you find yourself enjoying in the earth, God owns it. You say, "No, that's not true. I own it." No, God has allowed you to be a steward over what He owns, and you're only a steward. Now, He may trust you to be a greater steward than somebody else, but don't you forget, it still all belongs to God. The Bible teaches that in the book of Revelation very, very simply. The government, of course, takes their dues. They call it taxes. Sam's Club, or if you want to go over to Costco's, you'll find out that they take their fees or their dues. So does it surprise you tonight that really God has, if I may say, some dues or some fees we call tithing tonight that God Himself would require? By the way, a person that treats God fairly, I believe you'll see, will also be treated fairly by God. I believe a person, if you will, that treats God, if you would please, as a God that supplies stably, then God also will prove Himself and He will provide stably. I see nations that do not treat God right, and God always judges a nation. Most of the time, if you do a study in history, you'll find out that God will always judge a nation by using another nation to slap them. If a person robs God, they can expect punishment. If a person is right by God, they can expect blessing. Amen. If a person is right with God financially, God blesses them financially. Please don't forget, he owns it all. And so because a person is right with God and he trusts you more, he expects more, if you will, of the person on whom he has trusted. Please don't put your hand in God's pocket and rob him from that which is totally his anyway. You'll see in the Bible that God gives us opportunity also to be able to obey him. But we also see in the scriptures, as I read there a moment ago, in verse 6, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Do we not read that also in other scriptures, whereby the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. There are some things that are in the Old Testament that are not found in the New Testament, whereby it's exclusively in the Old Testament. You'll see the dietary laws are there in the Old Testament. You'll see the sacrificial system there in the Old Testament. You see the temple ordinances in the Old Testament that are not transferred over to the New Testament. But one thing you do know about the tithe is the tithe is transferred over to the New Testament. In the book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, it even talks about lost people who tithe. The Bible says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. It says, you pay the tithe of mint, and it says of anise, and it says of cinnamon. Then it says, and omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So he's saying, I'm commending you for doing, and he mentions the tithe. All right, these are lost people. You say, do you really expect? Well, I don't know. If you rent an apartment and you're a lost person, do they expect you to pay? If you're a saved person, do they expect you to pay? It doesn't depend on if you're lost or if you're saved. If you're renting the apartment, they expect you to pay. You don't get a pass just because you're saved from paying the rent. By the way, you don't get a pass just because you're lost from paying the rent if you live in God's earth and you're taking advantage of the fullness thereof. Amen. Luke chapter 11 and verse 42, a similar verse, the Bible says, woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe. Then it talks about the mint and the rue, and it talks in all matter of herbs, and it says, and pass over the judgment of the love of God. These, it says, ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Again, commending them for paying the tithe. So we understand this, statement number one, everyone should tithe. Everyone should tithe. Well, statement number two, if everyone should tithe, what is the tithe? It would be nice to know what the tithe is. After all, if you're supposed to do it, what is it? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? The Bible answers as God comes back in tithes and offerings. I think many times Christians, perhaps, they don't tithe simply because they're ignorant of the fact that they should. I think many times Christians do not tithe because they think they cannot afford to tithe. May I make a statement tonight? You cannot afford not to tithe. Somebody says, well, I have is a Social Security check, and I think you ought to trust God with everything that you have because God is God. Somebody gave this quote, if it's not how much money that you give to God, it's how much money that you keep to yourself that is the concern. Think about this tonight. God has a portion. The portion is stated, if you will, please, will a man rob God? And it talks about wherein have we robbed thee. It says in tithes and in offerings. There's two aspects to look at when it comes to the portion that God commands us to be able to give. Some of that is found in the Old Testament. Some of that's found in the New Testament. The Old Testament, the book of Exodus chapter 23 and verse 19, the Bible says, of the first, it says, the first of the first fruits of thy land shalt thou bring into the house of the Lord thy God. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 5, the Bible says, the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all the increase of the field, it says, of the tithe of all the things that are brought in abundantly. So God is talking about the first fruits. Over in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. If you receive a paycheck, I submit to you tonight, the very first thing you ought to pay out of your paycheck is your first fruits, which is the tithe. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need. Can I tell you, if you skip the tithe, God is not going to provide the need, but rather there's not going to be the blessing, but the blister. It is very important that we understand that God takes care of those that do right by him. Amen. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, the Bible says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, listen to it now, and is holy unto the Lord. So he says the tithe is holy. Now, by the way, all of it belongs to the Lord, but God only requests that we give 10% of all that we have. Years ago, when Dr. Criswell did pastor the First Baptist Church of downtown Dallas, a young man came in that was an entrepreneurist, and this is way back many, many years ago, came to his office as a young entrepreneurist, and he said this. He said, I make $4 an hour. He said, would you teach me about the tithe? And he tithed and did quite well. And God began to bless. And God began to increase. And later on, the same young man came back and he said, now I'm making $500 an hour. But to be honest with you, I don't have enough money to tithe. And the preacher bowed his head and said, okay, let's pray that God will give you back the $4 an hour. To whom much is given, much is required. If God cannot trust you with what he has given you, you really think he's going to trust you with more. By the way, let me say this. He may trust you with more for a temporary time just to see if you will honor him the way he says you are supposed to honor him. And if you honor him the way that you are supposed to honor him, there's your testing ground whereby he can trust you for more. We had a man in our church, Brother Bryant. Brother Bryant had cancer and had cancer when I became the pastor, but it increasingly got worse. I never heard somebody doing this before. It worked for him, but I never heard anybody doing this before. Because the Bible teaches that you tithe of your increase, a tithe of the first fruit, the tithe of all that ye have. Brother Bryant had a philosophy. I never heard it before. I've not ever seen it too many times thereafter. But he said years ago, God spoke to his heart, and he said, I wanted to start tithing not on just what God had blessed me with. I wanted to start tithing on what I wanted God to bless me with. I said, well, how's that working out for you? He said, well, let me tell you how it's working out for me. He says, though God may be viewing it as an offering, because we know that God only asks us to give the 10%, but I'm giving much more than the 10%, and God has blessed me every year proportionally to the degree that I give, not on what I have, but what I want to have. Now, can I tell you, God is a good God. God will take care of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 24, the Bible says, fruitful is he that calleth you, who also, listen to it now, will do it. Think about this. Tonight we pay 10% perhaps or even more in sales tax. Tonight, 20% perhaps you give to a waitress. 27% perhaps you pay on a defaulted credit card. And yet we begin to complain because God wants us to give 10% in the tithe. I don't quite understand. There's no other place in the Bible, by the way, where it talks about a man robbing God. This is the only recorded time in the Bible where it says how a man robs God. There is no other recording in the Bible. Therefore, God takes it very personal when a person robs God. What takes place when that does take place? Look at verse 9, Malachi 3:9. The Bible says you're cursed with a curse. Now, why are we cursed with a curse again? For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, I never understood that until I became a more mature Christian. I thought, well, wait a minute, if I don't turn in the tithe, which I've always tithed, I tithed as a lost man, even to the church that I attended. I've always tithed. My parents taught us that, even as a lost young man and coming up in a lost home, we've always tithed. But can I tell you, watch this, I never understood this particular verse where the Bible says, as I became a believer and I became a mature believer, where the Bible says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. How do you rob a nation? Well, when we don't tithe through the local church, which I'll show the importance there in just a little bit, but when we don't tithe through the local church, then the gospel tracts do not go out. And if people don't get saved, you robbed your own nation. What is going to change our nation is not who's in the White House, but who's in the church house. It seems to me like we think that everything relies on politics. Not everything, my dear friend, relies on politics. Everything does rely on God and God's people. And so as we make an effort to be right with God, we understand that God lifts a curse. Somebody told me the other day, I just don't understand. They came to me for financial counsel, and they said, preacher, I just don't understand. I have a job. I'm making good money, but I can't ever seem to save, and I can't ever seem to get ahead. What is my problem? I said, well, I really don't know. Let me inquire by asking some questions. If I may, I don't want you to be offended, but let me ask you a couple of questions. Question number one, do you tithe? He bowed his head. Individual did, and said, no, I've not mastered that yet. I said, it's not a matter of mastering it, it's a matter of making it happen. You just do it because it's the right thing. Bible says, and I'll complete the reading of that verse. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? So here's what God does. God curses the ground. God curses, if you would please, your seed. God curses your planting. God curses your harvest. But the Bible says that when a person begins to do right, God lifts the curse. Can you imagine giving a child $100 and say, I want you to go down to the grocery store. Here's the list. And you give him $100, only to discover when he returns, he has the latest Disney DVD. He has the latest game for his computer. He has lots of chocolate and lots of soda. He comes marching in and he says, that's not what I gave you money for. You wasted the money I gave you. Wow. How many of God's children waste the money that God gave them? They'll take vacations, but they won't tithe. They'll go on trips, but they won't tithe. They'll go out and they'll buy this and they'll buy that, but they won't tithe. And then they wonder how come they're not getting ahead. They wonder how come the God of heaven is not looking down and blessing them. You say, but God is blessing me. But what about the blessings if you would do right by God that you could have compared to what you do have? Amen. See, I think so many times we forget that God is the one that gives blessing. God is the one that opens the window of heaven. You say, well, he's opened the window of heaven. Here's my question, friend. How much has he opened the window of heaven? Is the window of heaven in your life only open that much because that's as much as he can trust you because of your obedience to him? Or is the window of heaven open this much or this much? Why don't we have some men and ladies that would rise up and say, yes, I do believe God enough that I could trust him. Why do you trust your banker and why do you trust your investor more than you trust the one that owns everything even more than the investor? You're talking about the Creator God. You can get bigger and when you get to heaven, wouldn't it be something if God built your place of dwelling with the money that you sent ahead? And all of a sudden you go walking up and you say, well, wait a minute. After all I did, I'm going to live in a hut for all eternity? Don't forget, he said, in my Father's house, read it correctly, please. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, he states that, doesn't he? He sure does. He says, and I go to prepare a place for you. That doesn't mean you're going to get a mansion, but it does mean you're going to get a place. I wonder what your place is going to be like. What if God is building your place on the funds that you send ahead? Now, I'm not saying he's doing that. I'm asking what if. What if the money that you send ahead, he's putting in a heavenly bank account, and it will be withdrawn on the day of your homegoing, and he uses that to build the place. Are you going to live in a hut? What are you going to live in? Say, why are you stressing that, preacher? Because it's important to understand that God expects us to do right by him. And can I say, listen to me tonight. We ought to respect God, the creator God that owns the earth and the fullness thereof. You even yourself do not belong to yourself. You yourself, your children, your spouse, all that you have belongs to God. Why is it that people struggle with their finances? Why is it that they keep spinning their wheels financially? Why is it that they find themselves getting in a hole deeper and deeper and deeper? The Bible says in verse 7 of Malachi 3, even from the days of your fathers are ye gone away from mine ordinances and not kept them. I wonder if a mom and dad didn't practice tithing and never taught it to a son or a daughter, I wonder if that's why the children did not do it, because their fathers did not do it. I wonder if because the fathers didn't have enough faith to trust God, the children didn't have enough faith to trust God. I wonder if there was not a testimony of God's goodness and God's riches inside of the house because there was a hoarding and they did what they wanted to do and they took their trips where they wanted to take their trips and they had the pleasure that they wanted to have and God was nowhere in sight. Then all of a sudden, when mom and daddy are gone and nobody's setting the testimony, that child grows up all the days of their life hoarding money. And can I tell you, that is not a pleasurable thing to do. And can I tell you tonight that that does not please God? Here's what we see in verse 9. The Bible says you're cursed with a curse. I read it a moment ago. The Bible mentions, as I said, there's no other place in the Bible whereby it says that a man can rob God, only in this financial world. You'll see that there are illustrations of this all through. And even as we live today, there was a man that had a memory problem. He could not remember. And the grandchildren came in. And the grandchildren would say, would you buy this? And would you buy this? And would you buy this? And they took advantage of someone that could not have a good memory. Please don't do that to God. The tithe belongs to God. He provides you plenty beside it. He gives you the breath. He gives you the life. Don't rob him. Don't give excuses. Somebody said the other day, I cannot tithe because in January I have Christmas bills that are due. In February, I have fuel bills and the car needs now to have upkeep. In March, I have to provide for the taxes. I cannot tithe. In April, I have to buy clothes for Easter. In May, there's just too much rain, and so the crops, I'm worried they won't come in, so I need to set back the nest egg. In June, because of little rain that threatens the crop, I need to put back more money. In July, vacation is coming. I can't tithe. In August, vacation expenses now needs to be paid from the vacation I took. I cannot tithe. In September, the children need school material. I cannot tithe. In October, there's the winter clothes and the doctor bills. I cannot tithe. In November, there's Thanksgiving trips. I cannot tithe. In December, it's shopping trips again. I cannot tithe. Well, can I tell you, friend, we ought to be a people that do not devour the tithe. You can devour the tithe to the point and to the place you never will. And yet God says, I want to bless you. When he says in verse 10, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. Listen to it now, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I would not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. We see this, that everyone should tithe. What is the tithe? The tithe is what God calls 10%, or your first fruits, what God gives you, you tithe off of that. God doesn't want us to devour the tithe, but God rather wants us to deliver the tithe. Watch it, verse 10. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You're not supposed to keep them. You're not supposed to spend them. You're not supposed to take them. You're not supposed to deposit them. You're not supposed to save them. You're not supposed to set them aside. You're supposed to bring them. There's only one place where they're safe, and that is the place that God calls the local church. Now, why is that? Well, you're not supposed to send your tithe through a radio station. That's not the local church. You're not supposed to send your tithe to support some magazine somewhere. Not even an individual missionary or an evangelist. When I was an evangelist many years ago, I was preaching, and we traveled continually for 12 years as we stayed in the field of evangelism. And all of a sudden, I saw this lady and here from Texas, and not this church, but from Texas, and she sent me her tithe check. And I called her up. I said, ma'am, what is this? She said, I would like to tithe to your ministry. I said, no, ma'am. Well, I've got to send that back. We don't receive that. You tithe through your local church. Amen. You don't tithe to a newspaper, radio broadcast. You don't tithe, if you would please, to help out with some humanitarian causes. Now, if you want to give an offering in certain places like that, that is okay. But the tithe goes through the local church. Say, give me proof of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible says, now concerning the collection of the saints. By the way, 1 Corinthians was written to a local church. Paul is talking to the... That's why, you know, that's why I take time to help us to understand. You say, well, how do you know that that has to do with the local church? Well, find out who it was written to. It was written to the local church. He's talking to a body of believers, and he's saying, those in this local church, pay attention. And by the way, if he says that to that local church, it applies to local churches today. Amen. And here's what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection of the saints. He says, as I have given order, it says, to the churches of Galatia, even so, wait a minute, don't stop there, do ye. So he's saying, now wait a minute, as I've told the churches of Galatia, you as a local church, do ye. And he talks about the collection of the saints. It says, upon the first day of the week, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Can I tell you that God expects us to send the money that is the tithe through the local church, not to the National Whale Association, not to feed the children that's on the plains of Africa. That's not where the tithe goes. The tithe goes through the local church. Back in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 13 in verse 12, the Bible says they brought, says, all of Judah the tithe and the corn and the new wine and the oil onto the treasury. So it's given to the local church to be able to put into the treasury. Now, why did they do that? Because there was needs in that time to be able to build that temple. And can I tell you, it's put in the treasury of the local church because there is needs in the local church. I believe this. I believe that inside of every member, there is a way to be able to accomplish that which God has the local church to do. Amen. One day a pastor got all excited. He got up and he said, I want to make an announcement. I want to make an announcement. He says, we're going to build a brand new educational building. And God has provided the money. Woo! Everybody was shouting. Everybody was excited. He says, and you'll find the money in your pocket if you'll give it. It's true. By the way, why is it that you have churches today that have massive buildings? How do you think they got them? It was through the members of the church. Why is it that you have churches that run buses? It's through the members of the church. Why is it that some churches have nice things? Well, it's through the members of the church. You have churches that do have youth camps, and yes, you have churches that do have, Bible college campuses. You have churches that do have other educational buildings. You have churches that do have bigger auditoriums or whatever. You say, well, God will provide. God only provides through the people that are a part of the local church. You pray earnestly, God, what can I do through my local church? You'd be amazed if everybody did everything they should do, how God could make this thing even reach more people. Now, I'm talking about the thing of the local church. You'd be amazed what God could do. But you know, sometimes God does not allow us to do things because the finances are not there. It's just not there. Oh, some stingy saint sitting on money saying, well, I'll tell you what, my needs are important. Well, I know that. But can I also tell you this? God knows that. Amen. And if you do right by God, God would do right by you. But until you decide to do right by God, you're the one that ties the hands of God. By the way, can I say it again? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I'm only a steward. That's all I am. I'm a steward. If you could get that in your mind, that all you are is a steward. Now, thank God he's given you what he's given you, but you're supposed to be a steward and to direct those things the way God would have you to direct those things. And by the way, not just your finances, but your time. Yes, also your talent. The things that God has given you. There's more to it than, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'm just going to show up and be blessed. You're not supposed to show up and just be blessed. You're supposed to come, try and be a blessing to somebody else, try and help somebody else. Hey, why don't you get excited about serving God and put God first? Yes, even in your finances. Here's what we understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. The Bible says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth, listen to it now, I don't see this much, a cheerful giver. Woo! Boy, God gave me this to be able to bless the local church, so that more could be done for Christ. Great is your reward in heaven. Because you're doing it the way God said to do it. Well, I see all these needs. You will always see needs. Bible says the poor will always be with you. How many times do I take people to Asia? And they say, preacher, I believe. And they'll say it with tears. Preacher, I believe this is where God wants me. I said, you go home and pray on it for about 3 months. Get away from the emotional stimuli, because don't make an emotional decision based on your feelings of the moment. If it's God's will now, it'll be God's will 3 months from now. God's will is not going to change. My Bible says the gifts and callings of God is without repentance. The word repentance means change of mind. So if it's a true calling of God, God's not going to change his mind. You can't outrun God. God's there before you got there, and he'll be there when you leave. And by the time you get somewhere else, he's already there. You're not going to outrun him. All right, listen to it. The Bible says in a continuation of that, it says, God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. A cheerful. We'd have an offering, and we'd tell the ushers, we'd say, okay, if somebody puts in a $10 bill, you say, amen. Somebody puts in a $20 bill, you say, hallelujah. Somebody puts in a $50 bill, you say, glory to God. Somebody puts in a $100 bill, say it all real fast. You know, now Now, we've done fun stuff like that. That's fun. That's fun. But to be honest with you, we're not supposed to give so that we can have the applause of men. Where you know, the ones that God uses most in the local church is not those that look for the flair. Many times it's those that's the quiet ones behind the scene that make the wheels roll even faster simply because they have a heart for God. Now, may I say this as I draw it to a close tonight, as we consider, if you want the work of God to move forward, why is it that we're not reaching out with various ministries? I double dog dare you with a spiritual dog to come to me and say, preacher, you tell me your dreams, and I will help you to make them happen financially. Now, I will tell you, before you ask that question, sit down. Because I'm going to blow you away. I'm only 57. I'm not an old man. And I don't even feel like 57. But can I tell you, I want to kick it as long as I can kick it. Somebody asked me the other day, had the nerve to ask me. Can you imagine? Had the nerve to ask me. They said, preacher, you're 57. When are you going to retire? I said, when I'm 102. Amen. But by then, you'll be dead. But can I tell you, watch this if you will, there is a great reward. The Bible says, listen to it in verse 8. We're in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. The Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. He's talking about the local church. He said, I'll make sure that you have the supply. There should never be a time in our church, and I love you, but I'm talking as pastor. There should never be a time in our church where we miss the budget. Never. If there's a week that goes by and we miss the budget, I'm thinking, okay, somebody's robbing God. So you shouldn't think that. I think somebody's robbing God. I do believe this. I believe that God will always make a way. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. You can't outgive God. The Bible says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Here, watch this. Watch this. I'll use you. You're the financial guy. Watch this. Let's say he's a businessman. And here I am. I'm doing my very best. I mean, I'm working. I'm giving it everything I can. And I'm faithful to God. Boy, I'm tithing and I'm giving my offerings and I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But, I misfigured something. Something went up wrong. But I'm still going to be faithful to God. I'm still going to tithe. I'm still going to give my offering. I'm still going to do what is right. And so, he's a business associate of mine, a business friend, or whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, I'm giving it my very, very best. But I'm just not making it. But I'm still faithful. All of a sudden, here's what God does. God comes down and taps. Mm-hmm. And he lays me on. Now, that might be your landlord. Right. Well, I can't tithe because I owe my landlord money. God's bigger than your landlord. Well, I can't tithe because I got myself in a mess. Well, then get yourself out of the mess. But don't put God second, because you're going to have a bigger mess. All right, watch this. Thank you. Be seated. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Listen to it as I started to read Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give it unto your bosom, for with the same measure that is meat, wherewithal it shall be measured to you again. All right, watch this. Here you go. You ready? Here we go. So you say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give God that much. And God says, God bless you. I'm going to give it back in the same measure. Let's say you give God, your cup is this big. That's your faith. That's your cup. It's that big. Say, God, I'm going to fill it up. I'm going to give it to you. And you do. And God says, okay, I'm going to give it back in the same measurement cup that you gave it to me, and I'm going to let that run over. But it's only that little cup. Oh, but let's say your faith gets bigger as you mature in the Lord. And you say, okay, God, I'm giving it in this bigger cup now. We've gone from a 6 ounce to a 16 ounce. I'm giving it in a bigger cup now, God says. And I'm filling it up, God. God says, okay, I'm going to give it back to you the same way you measured it to me in that cup, and I'm going to make it run over. Say, okay, God, I'm going to give it to you. And you use a bucket, 5-pound bucket. You say, God, 5-gallon bucket. Five pound. It's a heavy bucket. So you come to God and you say, God, here it is. And you fill your bucket up. God says, okay, I'm going to give it back to you, but I'm going to press it down and I'll make that bucket run over. Let's say you give it to him in a dump truck. Let's say you use 10 dump trucks. Let's say you use 50 dump trucks. God says, okay, when you give it to me in 50 dump trucks, I'm going to give it back to you in 50 dump trucks. But here's what you say, I don't believe that. Then you'll never do that. It's according to your faith. Here's what happens. When you're back here given a 6-ounce cup, you can trust God for that. You might be able to trust him with a 16-ounce cup. But can you trust him with a bucket? 5 buckets? Can you trust him with a pickup truck, a dump truck? 1, 2, 3. What is your limit of faith? It's according to your faith that God blesses you. Well, I tell you what, I just don't know if I can trust God. He owns it all anyway. He's the one that says, I'm the one that distributes. He's the one that, let me prove it to you, and we'll get ready to go to the house. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, watch it now, shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I guess it just depends on how you want to reap. He says, every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity. Well, I guess I've got to do it. Well, if you got to do it, why don't you get happy about doing it? I mean, if you got to stay married, why don't you have a happy marriage? I was with a missionary on the mission field, and he said, well, I'm here, and I guess I just got to stay here. And I said, well, if you're going to have to stay in God's will, then get happy about it. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well have fun. He says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, we're in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9. Every man has purpose in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, look, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, I've always liked this one word in this verse, that. I've always liked that one word, that. Let me read it to you with the emphasis on the that. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's whatever the that is that you sow is what you reap. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, last scriptures I'll read, says this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. Back in 1968, I was 7 years old. My grandpa said, let's go fishing. I used to love to go fishing with my grandpa. He'd find some of the sweetest fishing holes you ever saw in your life. And he said, let's go fishing. He said, I promise you, Mike, you're going to catch a good fish. I said, yes, sir. I didn't care if I caught a fish or not. I love my grandpa. I just wanted to spend time with grandpa. And we spent more time fishing than we did probably any work on the farm that I can remember. I mean, he loved to go fishing. And so we went fishing. And we was out there, and it was a stock pond. And what that means is they put fish in there and they teach them to take the bait. It was a stock pond. And I didn't know, but they had competition that day. They said, for ages this and this, you'll be fishing over here. And had competition who could catch the biggest fish in that given area. And I got the biggest fish. Woo! So how big was it? Oh, I don't know. It was about like this. I don't remember. But it was a fish, and it was the biggest that was in that area. But I remember catching that fish. Oh, my granddaddy, he was just so proud of me. I mean, I went after that, and we got ice cream, and we spent time together, and he was so braggadocious. I mean, he told all the neighbors that was over there on Miller's Road, and he called me his grandson. He said, my grandson, my adopted granddaddy, but he said, my grandson, he caught the biggest fish in the pond. Well, that's not true. I caught the biggest fish in that part of the pond. But I wasn't going to argue because I had no idea what was going on. I was just a young boy. But they gave me a trophy. Yeah. You know, I got that trophy today. It sits up in my closet. Now it's kind of rusted. And for some reason, the fish is draping. I don't know if it's because we moved some and it got hit. I don't know. But it's just kind of like it's bent in that downward fashion. But every time I look at that trophy, I remember that trip. Every time I look at that trophy. You know, I've had some other trophies in my life. I've had some young boys I led to Christ. I've had 2,700 plus that's walked an aisle surrendering to go into the ministry somewhere in their life. I have the privilege to preach in some churches of boys that are now pastoring. Be on the mission field and preach in churches I've helped to partner with and start. I got some other trophies. I got some trophies and people I've tried to teach and help along the way. I've got some friends that you would not just believe how precious they are to me. Can I tell you something tonight? As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. May I say, as I'll conclude, and as I'm talking about that trophy and about it being laid up there in my closet, let me read it and finish it out. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures. You're going to have treasures. That's what God says, treasures. Lay up for yourself. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You can have treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, that's present tense, there will, that's future tense, your heart be also. I've often said, you show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is. Because where you lay up your treasure is where your heart is. I've often said, where a man will invest shows his love. It's the sincerity of your love. Can you imagine one day, and I'll just use Peter just for illustration's sake. We'll say that one day you'll arrive at the gate of heaven for illustration's sake. We'll say as you enter into the gate of heaven, that gate of pearl for illustration's sake, and you walk down the street of gold for illustration's sake, and Peter is the one that's your tour guide for illustration's sake. And you go down street upon street and you see these glamorous, wonderfully built, heavenly looking homes. And he says, now I'm going to take you to your place. I wonder what that place might be like. May I say tonight that it is important that you and I, no matter what the reason that you give, that you tithe, because God has told us to do so. So it doesn't matter. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I just don't know if I should. I'll tell you, you should. Amen. And in order to be right by God, you better. But put him first, not just in the tithes, that I'm not even touch on this one tonight, but also in the offerings. Also in the offerings. About what God would have you to give extra. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to do what I'm required to do. You want your child to do better than that. So does God want his children. Oh, dear Father, please help us tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.